I want to talk tonight about the Christian graces, and in particular for our marriages. These concepts, these ideas that are spoken of here in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, are things that all of us as Christians need to be working on. This isn't addressed just to husbands and to wives. It's for every Christian, wherever we may be in our lives. And so we're to be giving all diligence to add these things to our lives, to our faith, to virtue, and then knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. In fact, Peter would go on and write that if these things be in you, and if they abound, you will never fall. You'll never fall if you keep adding these things unto your faith. You keep growing in this kind of way. Now he says, if we don't, then we will forget. We'll forget about the sacrifice that was made for us. At least we'll be living lives as if Jesus never gave himself for us. And so it's not something that's optional. We all need to be adding these things to our lives. But I want us to think especially tonight in regards to our marriages. Now, I know that not everyone here is married. Some have been married, and they are a widow or widower. Perhaps some have been divorced. Some have never been married. But a large number of you are married. And I think the lesson tonight will help us all, because the things that he talks about here, that Peter talks about, again, they're not just for a husband or for a wife. They're for all of us, and they will help us in our relationships with other people. But I want us to think especially of this idea of the Christian graces for marriage, and I might just ask the question as we begin, what qualities would you want in a spouse? Now, again, if you're already married, you don't get to pick again, okay? All right, hopefully you did it right the first time. And these are the qualities that you found in your spouse. But even if you didn't, hopefully these are things that we are all working on. And I hope that we understand that whenever we talk about something like this, the only person that you can improve is yourself. Husbands, this isn't a lesson for your wives. Wives, this isn't a lesson for your husbands to pay close attention. It's for every one of us. And the one that needs to improve, or that can make the improvement, make the changes, is us. That's who we are in control of. And so if there are things that we need to change, let's be willing to do that, to improve our marriages, to make them stronger, to make them what God intends them to be. But what kind of qualities would you want in a spouse? Well, I don't know all the things that you might list, but I imagine that things like this would certainly be thought about. We would want a spouse that is going to be faithful unto us. A spouse that is a lover of the Word of God. Someone who is unselfish. Someone who is committed to this relationship. Someone who is a Christian and strives to live a righteous life. Someone who is compassionate, caring, and someone who wants the best for me. Well, you look at a list like that and you compare it to the things that you read about in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, and you can see that really those are the very things that Peter writes and says, you add these things to your faith. The idea of virtue certainly is comparable to the idea of faithfulness. The idea of temperance, self-control, someone who is unselfish. Patience, endurance, someone who's committed. Godliness, here's a Christian person trying to live a life of righteousness. brotherly kindness. This is someone who's compassionate. And then the idea of charity or love. This kind of love wants what is best for the other person. And so you can see that the qualities that we would look for in a mate, that hopefully we show toward one another, these are the very things that Paul or Peter writes about here in this passage. So let's spend a few minutes talking about these very things. All right? Let's begin by looking at the first one. The idea of virtue. Add to your faith virtue. This idea of virtue carries with it the idea of moral excellence. The idea of modesty. My spouse is never going to have to worry about me embarrassing her because of what I wear in public. I'm never going to have to say, hey Tammy, that shows too much. Because she's going to dress modestly. As well as act modestly. The idea of purity and moral goodness, faithfulness and trustworthiness. You know, as a couple, you think we're going to be together forever. And I realize that we are together in this marriage relationship, but as time goes on, you work, she works, there are going to be times when you're apart from each other. We hope that there is a trust there. I don't have to worry when Tammy is away. Is she really at my daughter and son-in-law's? She have a boyfriend in Bethesda? She'll call me sometimes, or I'll call her when I'm in a gospel meeting. I'm in the hotel room, and she'll call, and I'll act like there's noise in the background. Like I'm telling someone to keep it down, you know. We laugh about it. But you know, if she didn't trust me, she might drive there that night. Who knows? You see, there needs to be that kind of trust. We are devoted to one another. And what we share, it's not going to be shared with any other. She doesn't have to worry about me flirting with other women. Now you might say, Tim, you're so old, it doesn't matter. Well, old men make mistakes too. But she doesn't have to worry about that. I stopped to get gas one day. And I hadn't eaten, so I was looking at those hot dogs going around in that machine. I was just contemplating that thought. I know that's a bad thought, but they were just going around, and I thought, a lady walked by and said, I can make you one better than that. And it seemed like the invitation was, come home with me and I'll make you one. I was scared to death. I got out of there as fast as I could. But we've got to avoid those kind of situations. Don't let things work towards something. Brother Glenn Colley, he's going to be with us, Lord willing, in a few years for our gospel meeting. He talks about this idea, and I think it's a very good one. He says if someone of the opposite sex, you're married, someone of the opposite sex gives you a compliment, you immediately turn it around and give your spouse a compliment. I like that idea. Some man says to you women, oh, those are pretty earrings. You tell, oh, thank you, my husband picked these out. Or he likes, they're his favorite. You know, he is one of the most adamant supporters of the Second Amendment that we have in our community. You just let them know. Some woman says to you, oh, I like that cologne. My wife picked that out for me. It's her favorite. We have so much fun together. I think you'd like to get to know her. She's a people person. And you just keep that from going any further. We're going to be virtuous in our marriage relationship. There's going to be purity and goodness and faithfulness there. You think about the idea of knowledge. You add to your virtue knowledge. Well, in this marriage relationship, we're going to keep growing in knowledge. You think primarily here in this passage about the knowledge of God and the things of God and His Word. We're going to keep helping each other on our way to heaven, helping each other to grow closer to God. We're going to discuss Bible classes and sermons together. We're going to be reading good books together. We're going to read the good book together. But we're going to improve in our knowledge of God, but also of one another. There's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, and it shares with us a couple of ideas that I think tie into this idea of growing in knowledge, in particular of one another. But he writes, Peter does, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You realize, husbands, that our relationship with our wives affects our relationship with God. If we're not treating our wives properly, he says our prayers will be hindered. We are heirs together of the grace of life. We're trying to help each other on our way there. But then he also says earlier that you dwell with them according to knowledge. Certainly you follow God's plan, God's roles that He's given to us as husbands and wives in the marriage relationship. But I think also this idea of knowledge, dwell with them according to knowledge, is you keep learning about your spouse. And in particular, what are your spouse's needs? You want them to know your needs. We need to communicate to that with each other. Let each other know so that we can meet those needs. So no one will be tempted to go outside of the marriage relationship to have a need fulfilled. I don't know what everyone's needs may be. We're all different. Some wife might have a need for more affection. Give that to her. Hold her hand. Put your arm around her. Do those kind things that you did when you were dating her. Maybe she needs communication. A little bit more of that. I don't know if you figured this out yet or not. My wife's a talker. And she likes to communicate. You know, when we first were married, I had trouble with that. Because in my mind, when she would tell me things, she had a problem, my mind said, okay, here's how to fix it. I got the answer. Here's what you do. That isn't what she needed. She knew what to do already. 99% of the time, she knows already. She just needed to let me know what she's going through, what she's facing, and give her an ear. I can do that. I can always be better at it, but I can do that. Whatever my needs are, she needs to know those so that we can work together at meeting those. You add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. Knowledge of God and His Word, but knowledge of each other as well. And then there's this idea of temperance. Temperance carries with it the idea of self-control. And certainly in the marriage relationship, we need to practice self-control. You might think about in regards to anger and words that can be given, can be spoken. Remember that little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but how's the rest go? Words will never. That's a lie, isn't it? I mean, sticks and stones will break your bones. But words hurt. And they hurt especially from those nearest to us. And so we've got to be careful. Be careful of our words. Be careful of our temper. Practice self-control. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 26 and 27, where Paul's going to write, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." I've heard of many couples who've made the agreement, "We will never go to sleep angry." Now they've stayed up all night, but they didn't go to sleep angry. We need to make sure we follow the admonition that is given to us here. Practice self-control with our temper, with our actions, with our words. But even also with something like money. Boy, money can be a big problem in a marriage, can it, if it's not handled properly? We can become very selfish with money instead of showing restraint, self-control. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, we're told, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You see the lengths that Christ went to. Now, we think about, oh, laying down our life to protect our wife. Yeah, that's part of it here. But what about with money? Are we going to practice discipline? Keep ourselves under control, restraint? We're going to be upset with our wife. She bought a new dress, a new sweater, a new pair of shoes, and we come home with a new 4x4. Or, "Here's my new boat. It's such a good deal, I couldn't pass it." We spend thousands and we get upset over $50. That seem right? You see, we need temperance in our marriage relationships, both husband and wife. The idea of patience, oh, that's needed in marriage, isn't it? We need endurance. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 7 and 8, and you're reminded that love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never faileth. That's all reminding us to practice patience. That's the idea of endurance. We're in this together. And we are never giving up on each other. There are going to be struggles in the marriage relationship. You're married long enough, there'll be difficulties that you have to face. If we are blessed with children, there'll be difficulties with the children. You're going to have to figure out together how to bring up those children. You might have very different styles. And yet you've got to work together to do this. You know, when our kids were little, Tammy couldn't sleep. I slept like a baby. She couldn't sleep because she didn't know if they were breathing or not. They got to be teenagers. She slept like a log. I couldn't sleep. I guess that makes us a pretty good pair. But there are going to be difficulties. You want to see how strong your marriage is? Go through a home remodeling. You build a home together, or you remodel a house or a room. If you can stand that, you got a strong marriage. You're working together here. You know that's hard. I love HGTV and I hate it. I love it because of the ideas that are there. I hate it because my wife thinks everything gets done in 1 hour. It doesn't work that way. First thing we ever tried to do was just lay a piece of rug, a carpet, in a room. We're putting it down. We just were cutting it to fit this room. I was cutting it, trying to be precise. Tammy couldn't wait. I said, you want to try? She said, sure. I gave her that utility knife, and she went to town. Whoom, whoom. It looked like the ocean, these waves, you know. I sent her to Burger King to get our lunch, and by the time she got back, I was done. And that's the only way we survived it. It can be tough and trying on you. But we need patience with each other. Going to have money troubles. Sooner or later, we're likely to have some health issues along the way. Hopefully they're minor. But eventually some of them become very, very serious. We need patience and endurance. That little promise we made, in sickness and in health, we need to abide by that. Because it's not just a promise we made to each other. It's a promise we made to God. So we need to add patience. And then there's this idea of godliness as well. Piety or holiness. The idea that we're separate from sin. We understand that sin destroys, that sin brings ruin. And so it's not going to be welcome in our home. We're not going to allow sin a way in, a place in our home. The old devil, he tries in every kind of way to get in. A lot of it has to do with our media, our entertainment, what we watch, what we listen to on all our different devices. I want to encourage us as Christian couples not to allow sin into our home. I don't care if the world says, oh, you've got to watch this series. It's the greatest. You've got to see this movie. It's incredible. Does it have nudity in it? I don't want it. Does it have foul language in it? I don't want to hear it. Is the message ungodly? I don't want it in my home. I don't care if the world says, you're out of date. You're a dinosaur. I know I can go to heaven not seeing those series the world thinks are so great. I don't want to allow those things into my home. We want to practice godliness together. And then we need to practice this idea of brotherly kindness. Let me ask you, what was the last kind thing you did for your spouse? Oh boy, put us on the spot now. What's the last kind thing you did for your spouse? Here's another one. What's the last kind thing you said to your spouse? Now, hopefully your mind is just flooded with all the things that you do. Because we try to show kindness in every way. I hope, and I know it's hard. I tried to do it for myself last night, and I was glad Tammy wasn't there. But I hope that it's all the little things that we do. You know, it's saying thank you for a meal that's been prepared. Or thank you for the clean clothes. Or thank you for the work in the yard. Or thank you for cleaning out my car. Or thank you for, you know, whatever it may be, all along. It's not this idea, well, you're supposed to do those things. I'll let you know when you don't do them. That's what I'll do. No. All along the way, we're showing kindness. Don't you want to be somebody that someone wants to live with? To be fun to live with? That makes it a joy? Show kindness toward one another. Brotherly kindness. And then you think about the idea of love. And here's this idea of wanting what is best for one another. Again, you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. And I think I've mentioned this idea before, but wherever you see the word charity or love, just insert your own name and see if that describes the way that you are conducting yourself, that I'm conducting myself. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Is that me? Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Is that the way that I'm conducting myself in my relationship with my wife? Am I acting in that loving way? I know when it comes to a lesson like this, there is always room for improvement. We can all do better. Husbands, we can do better. Wives, we can do better. And we do better when we do it God's way. And so he reminds us of these Christian graces and the things that we need to be working on in our lives in general. You add this to your faith. But as husbands and wives, let's work at adding these things to our marriage as well. Peter's going to write and say, you add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. You think about this relationship. We are heirs together of the grace of life. Tammy and I sometimes talk about getting close to the end of life. And we've got this agreement. I imagine a lot of couples have this agreement. We just decide we're going to go together. Right? I mean, that's what we think and we hope. But I know that in this life it doesn't always work that way. In fact, very seldom it does. And I know that some of you here this evening have had to say goodbye to a loved one for a little while. But I just think of how wonderful it will be in that heavenly home when this life is all over, when we can meet our spouse and be able to say to them, thank you. I'm here. I'm in this heavenly place in a large part due to you, because you helped me get here. You helped me to walk on that road that leads to life. You help me to stay faithful to the Lord. Thank you. That's the kind of marriage we should desire, where we are enjoying the blessings of marriage here upon this earth, and where we can be in that heavenly home, in part at least, because of the help that we gave to one another. Now, I know that the lesson tonight was primarily about marriage, but it's also a lesson for us all, because these graces we are all to add to our lives. And as I mentioned earlier, Peter says, if you will, you'll never fall. And I want to encourage us as Christians to just keep growing every day in our relationship with the Lord, ever closer to Him. And if you're here this evening and you've not yet begun that relationship, you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to take that step. As a penitent believer, we would encourage you to confess Christ before men and then be baptized to have your sins washed away and begin living that life that will lead you to heaven. And if you're here as one who has obeyed but you've fallen away and you need to come back, we want to pray with you and for you. So if you're subject in any way to the invitation of our Lord, please come. as together we stand and sing.